step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots-on-the-ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. I'm Tim Dooner, and this is Freight Waves Insiders. Welcome back to Freight Waves Insiders. I'm Dooner, and today I'm wicked excited because I'm going back to talk to someone from my hometown. Now, virtually, I'm going there. We're going back to the Boston area. We're talking to Thomas Healy. Now, he's over in Austin now. You know, he is the CEO and founder of Hylion. He's sitting right across from me digitally. Let's take a look at him. Thomas, thanks for joining me today.
No, thanks for having me on. And it's fitting. The wicked awesome. That's true Boston right there.
So. Well, you know, I was starting to look at now. I've interviewed you a few times. You've been on What the Truck. We actually had you on right after you guys went public last year. Big moment. We did an event together where we allowed all these comments and questions to come in from Twitter and a Q&A. And it was a really, really good time. But we have never really had enough time to tell your story and the brand story of Hylion. So I think we're going to start there. Let's start with you. What does it mean to be the CEO and founder of Hylion today in the summer of 2021?
Yeah. So I think if I had to contextualize it down to one word, it's surreal, right? This has been an amazing journey at Hylion. And, looking back over, I guess it's been about 6 years ago that I started this. At that time, I was in a master's program at Carnegie Mellon studying mechanical engineering. And, if I step back and think about, those early days of starting this company, to think that we could have gotten to where we are today in the time frame that we did, have built such an amazing team, the product, all the above, it's surreal. It's been a ton of fun. And the exciting thing is each day, literally every single day, keeps on getting more and more exciting. You can't underestimate the growth of the organization, new people coming in, really smart people that bring awesome ideas. Like every day is truly just a joy to get to work on this.
Hylion's a fascinating company, but for those who are not familiar, can you give the audience just a little elevator pitch here on what your team does?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all about electrifying trucking, right? And if we step back and look at this industry, there is so much excitement about moving towards electric. Obviously, we saw it happen in the passenger car space, or it's happening in the passenger car space. We are just on the tip of the iceberg in the trucking space. Like, every fleet knows that they want to move to electric. There's so much talk about it. And we're now just getting to a point where fleets are actually starting to experience it and really diving into what electric solutions are going to be right for them. And so that's where Hylion comes in. And our whole focus is bringing electric powertrains forward. So one of the unique things that's very different than some of the others in this space is Hylion's not developing the entire truck. But what we're doing is we're using the existing trucks that are made by the OEMs that fleets already know and love. And we are a powertrain company. So we're going after the area that needs to be evolved, right? I mean, you don't need a whole brand new truck in order to get an electric powertrain. You just need a new powertrain. And so from that end, we're going after the long haul semi-truck market. So, we kind of like to think about it. There's two different areas of this electric space. You got short haul, local delivery, and then you got the long haul, the 500, 600 miles a day type drivers. And each one has a very different solution. Local delivery, you can use a plug-in truck, right? It's a very practical way to go about it. Long haul, though, 500 miles a day, you need a huge battery pack. You need a bunch of charging infrastructure, huge demand on the grid. It becomes very impractical. And that's where, our whole philosophy from day one has been, how do we bring electrification forward in practical ways where we can actually reduce operating costs for fleets, but also drive lower emissions? And that's where both our hybrid, our Hypertruck products, that's really the goal of both of them. And, we think we've got a really innovative way of actually getting these products out to market, ultimately getting to, hydrogen down the road. But we're not there today yet. And that's where our products really make a ton of sense.
So true or false, is the name just a portmanteau of hybrid lithium ion?
that truly is it. It was like one of those late night thoughts, it was like, all right, I got to come up with a name with this thing. And it was, well, if I just take three words that kind of describe the product and squish them together, there we go. I think the one thing I didn't think about, though, is it's very similar to my last name, which is Healy. So a lot of people think it's like Helion, or, you know, it's like, no, this is no spin off of my name. This is purely hybrid lithium ion squished into one word.
Did you have like any other names on the list, or were you one and done with this?
It was like this is going to sound bad, but it was like a 30-minute thought process of like, all right, I need a name. All right, here we go. This is what we're going with. And there was that time, you know, the struggle with the name Hylion is like, you're going to get, you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different pronunciations of it, right? You're going to get Helion or Hylion or Hylion is one we get sometimes. I mean, you get a myriad of names. So we did look at changing it years back, but it was like, no, this is us. You know, who cares if people pronounce it a little incorrectly? You know, ultimately, we were proud of the name. So we kept with it.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, maybe this is some, I'm too, like, some Greek god I'm too dumb to know about or something like that.
Nah.
But it's easy to pronounce if you actually know what it comes from, which is the hybrid lithium ion, Hylion. Makes total sense. Now, we're going to get into the career journey of the company and how you got there and your journey and all that stuff. But before we do, right now, what's sitting on your desk? What are you working on today?
So tons of exciting things have been going on right now. Number one push for this whole organization is just growing and scaling the company. We are hiring nonstop. Anyone listening, if you're excited and interested in electric trucks, go to Hylion.com, and we've got tons of job openings out there right now. So growing the company. We just announced the other day we're expanding our facility here in Austin. And then a big focus here is commercializing the product. So we have our hybrid product, which here in the second half of this year, we're going to be releasing an updated version of it that brings forward some pretty cool benefits and features to it that we're going to be starting to move into volume commercialization. And then we're also like deep in the middle of the commercialization of the Hypertruck. And we are super excited about later this year is when we're actually going to start doing demo showcases with fleets. I think we discussed it on some of our previous conversations. We pulled together the Fleet Council for Hypertruck, you know, all the big names like the Riders, Penske, Werner, Schneider, Anheuser-Busch. And later this year is when we're actually going to get the chance to let them experience it firsthand, let them see the vehicle. And that's going to be a huge milestone for this company.
Are you having as much trouble finding talent as everyone else is at all levels? It's hard to hire right now, isn't it?
So yes and no, right? The cool thing that we have going for us is people are super excited about what we're working on. And they view this as like a real opportunity to change the world, which, you know, you maybe don't find that at every organization or every company. And one of the things I've heard from people, specifically people that are coming in for interviews, is they walk through the front door of the building and they like this energy ultimately just like hits them. And it's like you can just feel how excited people are, how motivated people are. And it's like a really fun work environment. So I think we have a lot going for us in terms of recruiting top talent. The thing that is super difficult right now, though, is the housing market. If we're trying to get people to move to Austin, you know, this is a struggle that most cities are having right now. I mean, housing prices are up. You're bidding on housing and, there's 10 other people bidding on the same place. So that's been the hurdle. But in terms of like getting people excited about it, no, I think that's our competitive edge right now.
Well, sure. And, you know, you also have Gigafactory over there in Austin too. It's becoming a hotbed. You also have South by Southwest and a lot of cool stuff going on in Austin. But like you said, a lot of demand. Now, we both come from a place where right now housing also incredibly expensive. That's the Massachusetts area. Let's go back to your 15 years old at Thayer Academy over in Braintree. Do you think this is what you're going to be when you grow up? Because I looked in your background, you're also into like the nerdy stuff, right? You're into robotics. You're into that kind of thing over at school. So what's 15-year-old Thomas Healy like?
So I think all along this journey, I knew I wanted to do a company of my own. And I started that right in undergrad. I did a couple of different startups. Even in high school, I kind of had pretty competitive edge to me, which, still stays true today. You know, it was kind of, hey, if you're going to set a bar out there, I'm going to go see how I can pass it kind of a deal, you know. So definitely a strong competitive side, but ultimately knew that I wanted to start something of my own. Could I have ever forecasted in, you know, high school that this is where we would have been, you know, 10, 15 years later? No, this has been super exciting. But, you know, I think ultimately, you know, knew I wanted to do something in the automotive space. One of the things that probably most people don't realize about me, and you definitely wouldn't realize it if you see me, because I'm 6'5". And, you know, one of the things that I loved doing when I was growing up was race car driving. And most race car drivers are like the size of jockeys, right? You know, it's like it's the exact polar opposite. But, you know, that was something I loved doing growing up. And so I knew that I wanted to be, you know, doing something in the automotive space, just didn't really know what at that point.
Where would you ride go-karts? Like K1 Speed over in Braintree, or where were you getting your track time in?
Yeah, so right in Braintree, there's a place, I think it used to be called F1 Boston. I think they've had to change the name. Maybe it's now K1, or I think it's maybe like F1.
I think it is. I think that franchise bought it, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's where I started. I think I was like 8 years old, and then, you know, went into go-karts that went a lot faster, you know, the open wheel type go-karts, and then ultimately progressed into doing some formula car stuff, some sports car stuff. So, you know, racing was my passion. And then when I was going to college, I made the decision of either I could continue racing, and as someone that's 6'5", that's kind of a tough endeavor to keep going with, or I could play football. So I decided to play football in college instead.
You're a big ass punter, 6'5", 245 at Carnegie Mellon. I saw your player card. Carnegie Mellon seemed like a really cool experience for you, though, because your entrepreneurial spirit was already going forward when you were there. You started a company called, what was it, Promos on the Go? What was the name of this?
So
you had, yeah. Tell me the story, because it's a cool story. You were asked to get some drawstring bags, and this kind of became a company.
Yeah. So if you've ever been on a college campus, one of the things that you know that like universities and clubs and fraternities, sororities are all super excited about is having branded apparel, right? And they all want to promote whatever they're working on or they're doing. And I saw this opportunity of like, well, you know, everyone's going down to the shop down the street to buy, you know, the promotional products they need. I kind of looked at it as, well, what if you could have students actually selling promotional products on your campus? And so the whole nature, you know, idea of the business was we'd hire college students and they would be our sales force and they would sell to their friends and the departments on the campus. And ultimately, that was our sales force. And so I did that for a little while. We made a ton of promotional products, everything from pens to drawstring bags, mugs, T-shirts were a huge hit. And, you know, that was kind of a start to this entrepreneurial journey. And then from there, started HeadSmart Labs and then ultimately Hylion.
So HeadSmart Labs, tell us about that too, because your concussions, big issue at school, especially around the time you would have been looking into this. I remember like 2009, 2010, like talk about CTE and concussions got huge, especially insofar as young people go, students and athletes. You started this Headstrong company. What's it all about and who did you work with?
Yeah, so the initial philosophy behind it was like, what if we could take engineers and doctors and pull them together to try to solve this concussion problem, as opposed to a lot of the labs that were out there? You either had like engineers designing helmets or you had doctors taking care of people who had already gotten a concussion. And one of the cool things is, you know, Carnegie Mellon, obviously a great engineering school, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center right down the road. They are one of the leaders in concussion research and like the impact test that almost every high school student has to take if they're going to play a sport. That came out of University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. So got a chance to work with the doctors that actually created that, pulled in some professors from Carnegie Mellon to work with me as well. And we started testing helmets and figuring out, you know, how a helmet really works and are there ways that we could improve a helmet. Now, one of the things that, you know, I kind of realized along the journey is like, you know, getting into that concussion space was pretty difficult because you have a lot of varying views on this. You know, everything from you've got the NFL, you've got the helmet makers, and they all have very different opinions on the concussion situation. And so, you know, it was one where, you know, right when I was kind of working on that and we were starting to publish our initial research, and, you know, some people didn't like our research that we published, right? And then, you know, they want to figure out how they can, you know, combat the research that you put out. And that was right at the same time that I had the idea for Hylion. And so I kind of figured, all right, well, I can either, you know, spend the next few years trying to defend, you know, research that we did in a lab, or I can go about trying to electrify trucking. And I chose the latter, obviously.
So you punt on one idea here. The other one is in your mind. You're like, I got this great idea. Hi, Leon. Where did the idea come from? Was it just something that was tossing around your head and you decided to go for it? Bring me through that process a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, parents actually had it's a Honda Civic Hybrid. So that was kind of my first experience into hybrid cars was that vehicle. I think it was a 2004 Honda Civic Hybrid. And that was like early days of electric vehicles. You know, Tesla wasn't really a thing at that point, right? And it wasn't, you know, there was talk about hybrid, but people hadn't really driven them yet. So that was kind of my forte into hybrid vehicles. And then, you know, my experience with trucking was really, you know, the racing I was doing, a lot of the equipment that we would use was all shipped in 18-wheelers, right? They would go from racetrack to racetrack. And so kind of knew a little bit. I mean, I was scratching the surface of knowing a little bit about trucking. But, you know, had one of these ideas where if you looked at what was going on in the passenger market, it was like back in the 2015 timeframe, you just saw that tidal wave coming of like, you know, this shift towards electric. And one of the things that I realized was the trucking industry usually follows the trends of the passenger car space, you know, moving from drum brakes to disc brakes or collision mitigation systems. You know, it starts in cars and then ultimately gets moved to trucks. Well, that shift towards electric hadn't yet started happening in trucks. And so saw this kind of unique window of opportunity where we could jump in as a startup and be one of the kind of thought leaders of moving the industry towards electric. And that was back in kind of the 2015-ish timeframe, and you know, I think it's been pretty exciting to see where we've been able to take it since then.
So 2015, do you go right into building your first prototype? How did that go about?
Yeah, so a lot of work was done out of my apartment in Pittsburgh. You know, I lived off campus and you know, recruited some classmates from Carnegie Mellon to kind of work with me on like a summer internship-ish kind of a structure. And the goal was, let's go out and pitch this idea at business plan competitions and see if we can raise some money from doing that. And then whatever money we can raise, then we'll go ahead and kind of reinvest that into building, you know, prototypes and kind of just create that snowball effect. So we started at the Rice Business Plan Competition. You know, it happens once a year at Rice University. What the way their business plan works is that it's open to all college students. I think it's maybe just graduate students, but, you know, all universities can come participate in it. And you submit your ideas. You write like a 10-page business plan. You make a quick video. You submit it. And ultimately, they're going to select 40 different ideas or companies or, you know, students to come down to Rice and actually present and pitch the idea. And then they bring in an audience of probably close to maybe like 250 or 500 people who are all either in different industries. They're venture capital investors, private equity investors. It's like a whole mix of backgrounds. And they judge you and give you feedback on your idea and kind of give you advice on how you can make your company better. And so that's where we started. And we ended up, I think we placed third overall in that competition. We walked away from there. I want to say it was with like offers for around $150,000 in financing. And that was like the start to it. And we took some of that capital and ultimately used that to build a prototype. Now, one of the things that probably almost nobody knows about Hylion is we actually started with the hybrid idea, but we were doing it on trailers. So, you know, we put hybrid on the truck right now. You know, that's the product that we're shipping out on the market. My initial idea, you know, having not known much about the trucking industry, was why don't we put this on the trailer? Because I looked at it as, hey, there's a lot of empty real estate on a trailer. Why don't we just use that? Well, unknown to someone outside the industry issue with that is there's like a truck to trailer ratio of like a 1 to 5. So for every one truck a fleet owns, they're going to own 5 trailers. So if you're going to put it on a trailer, chances are, you know, 80% of the time it's going to be sitting, not being used. So that doesn't work too well for a hybrid system. So then, you know, ultimately moved it up to the truck. But that's where it all started. We built a e-axle propulsion system that went on a trailer. And, you know, that was kind of the first prototype that we got out on the road.
So you're a young guy now. You're a really young guy starting this company, Hylion. And it's almost like bands. Like, you can win Best New Artist after you've been out for 6 years. And company's been around 6-7 years. You're still called a startup. And it's like, at what point are you no longer a startup? But during these initial things, that's a great story about the trailers. It's something you wouldn't know. You'd look at it. You wouldn't assume that. But if you're inside the industry, you go, hey, Thomas, that's a terrible idea because of the way that trailers are used and the way they're shared. Are there any other lessons you learned in those early nascent stages where you're like, makes total sense now?
Yeah, I think the other other big thing was just getting to know this industry. And one of the things, you know, my perception going into the trucking world was going to be, there was going to be like a lot of naysayers, a lot of people like, hey, we've been doing this for X number of years this way. We're not going to switch. You know, it's like, we're not going to electric. We're staying on diesel fuel. What was shocking to me and surprising to me was like the people I met in this industry were like coaches and mentors and like really tried to help Hylion along this path. We didn't get that resistance at all. People were like, hey, you're a young guy. You got a cool idea. Let me see if I can help you. What do you need? You know, what areas can we help with or can we do and to accelerate what Hylion is ultimately trying to achieve, which, you know, as an entrepreneur, like that is an amazing thing to happen because now you don't have this like headwind against you of the industry, you know, do they want it? Do they not? Now you have this tailwind that's pushing you forward and people are saying, hey, I like the idea you have. How do we actually get this implemented and get it out to market? So that was awesome to see out of the trucking industry and, you know, one that really took me by surprise.
So those early days, you're working on the prototypes, you're trying to get this up to speed, you're trying to get something that you can go to market with, you're building the brand identity, the culture and all of that stuff. How important, your initial mission statement, I know you mentioned the trailers, but how has that changed over time? You know, your initial assumptions and what Hylion was and what it is now?
Yeah, so I think what we knew in the beginning was we wanted to bring electric forward and we wanted to do it in the commercial vehicle space. That was kind of the initial idea. Now, whether that meant were we going to do class 4 or class 8 trucks, we didn't really know. Was it going to be hybrid? Was it going to be BEV plug-in? Didn't really know. You know, those are things that kind of evolved. And the cool thing is the idea has still stayed the same from a, you know, those initial two points of it's electrification and commercial vehicles. Now, granted, the technology has totally evolved and like, you know, from where we started the first prototype, the batteries that were in it to where we are today, it's like you couldn't be further away from, you know, differences in technology and how advanced it is and the BMS. I mean, things have totally evolved, but that general idea, that general concept is still the same. And ultimately, the overall push is how do we reduce emissions out of this sector? You know, a lot of people, when they think about trucking, and in many instances, this is true, you know, you think about that image of like a truck coming out of a red light, you know, and it's got like smoke billowing out of it, you know, and that's what a lot of people think of trucks. And they have gotten a lot cleaner over the last decade here, but there's still a long way we can go. And, you know, I think these innovative solutions of, you know, our Hypertruck, our hybrid product, it really is pushing the boundaries in terms of, you know, how do we reduce emissions coming out of these trucks to make a cleaner planet? And, you know, one of the things I think I want to circle back to here is like that you brought up the startup thing. And I'm curious to get your take on this as well. But when I think about a startup, I don't necessarily look at it from what the age of the company is or how much have you raised and what's your revenue. I look at it from more, what's the mindset of the personnel that you have within that organization? And the mindset that we have, and I think really embodies the startup, is you're going after a lofty mission. You're being creative and, you know, really thoughtful in the way that you're going to go about it. I mean, you're like, you're being tactical, right? It's like really, you know, but you're being tactical in a quick way where you're willing to make changes fast. If you learn something here and you see that it affects where you're trying to go, you course correct and you change the path you're on. You don't just keep, you know, going down the same journey if you know that there's something there that's not working. And that's what I think a startup really is. And it's that kind of that team environment and atmosphere and collaboration that you have that's really different from maybe, you know, what you would see out of a conventional, longstanding organization. So, you know, like I would actually still look at Tesla as a startup, right? I mean, they still embody that type of mentality. But I'm curious what your thoughts are.
No, I would agree with you. And I like that. It's a state of mind. And I've worked in legacy companies and I work at a startup with FreightWaves. And the biggest difference that I've noticed is how malleable it is, right? You have a mission, you have a clear goal, but you're a newer company. You don't know exactly how you're going to get there because you're going to keep breaking things. You're going to keep doing things that you haven't done before. And sometimes nobody has done before. And there's some people who really embrace that, right? That is super, super attractive. I mean, that attracts a complete certain type of employee, but not everyone works in that environment. We've had people come from brokerages who are used to that like very regimented style of work. And it's very defensive and protective. And this is our legacy and this is how we are. And you fall into line. I don't like that. You know, I love the startup thing. And I think it's almost like a professor once told me, you never get old until you stop learning. And I feel like maybe you never stop being a startup until you stop breaking things and you stop trying to push things forward. Even if it is that initial thesis of what a FreightWaves is or what a Hylion is, it's where do you eventually see it? And the vision always has to be a little bit bigger than where you are now. Otherwise, someone like you, an entrepreneur, you might just go do something else, right? Yeah.
No, that's very true. And like, to that point about hiring the right people, like, you know, we've made some mistakes with hiring where we find people, you know, we bring in those people that have that example. They really need to be in a company that, you know, has their processes all in place and it's more blocking and tackling. You bring them into this environment where, you know, if it's like the example I'd use is if you see a problem in a startup, you're the one that has to go solve it too. Versus in a larger corporation, it might be, oh, if you see a problem, you tell this department about it, right? You don't have the resources to do that in a startup. And for some people, that's just an environment that doesn't work, right? If it's like, if you uncover a problem, you got to solve it too. That's new to some people. And one there, like, if you don't have the right mentality, you can kind of get frozen in that type of a work environment. But the flip side of that is you bring in the right people, they thrive on that. And you know, you bring in the right people, there's days where you got to be kind of closing the doors and kicking people out of the office because they're putting in too many hours and they're going to burn themselves out, right? I mean, that's how motivated people can get behind ideas like what Hylions are doing or what other companies are doing as well.
Yeah, no, I find it incredibly empowering. And I think the cool thing, well, I think what's something that's interesting and I kind of want to know about now is, so you're in Pittsburgh, you're in Carnegie, you got a Carnegie Mellon, you're up in that Pittsburgh area. You start this other company, then you start Hylion. What made you decide to get out of Pittsburgh? Were there too many Steelers fans there? You know, you couldn't take it anymore. What was the impetus there?
Well, as a Patriots fan, and I'm guessing based on your hat, you're the same, or maybe the same. But yeah, no, the Steelers was, you know, a little bit of a competitive issue there. But no, it honestly, what happened was we just couldn't source the right talent that we needed in the Pittsburgh area. So it's a great city for finding people that are just coming out of universities. But what we found was while Pittsburgh is very progressive in terms of moving towards that startup environment, it hadn't had a lot of companies go through that that location that were startups, right? It was more well-established organizations. So when we went through for the first time of kind of like trying to hire out our executive team, we couldn't find people who had been in startups before, right? We could find people that were kind of just coming out of school or had been in corporations for a long time, but you couldn't find that mix of like, hey, I'm on my fifth startup and, you know, this is what I love. That didn't exist in Pittsburgh. Versus you come to Austin and you can find a ton of people here who are like, hey, this is my career, is I do startups one after the other. I go after really innovative ideas and try to go change the world. And you can find more people that have kind of been through that. And that's important because like with any company that's early in their growth, things never go as planned, right? I mean, I'm sure you're experiencing that at, you know, at FreightWaves. It's like some days things are going fantastic. Other days it's like, are the wheels going to stay on the bus, right? You know, and that's like what it's like in the early days of a company. And, you know, that was kind of our reason for moving into Austin is because we wanted to find people that embodied having to kind of solve those problems and live in that sort of environment as opposed to, you know, people that hadn't experienced that before.
So along the way, did you ever have any of these advisors and these mentors come to you and try to, I mean, Tesla, they're awesome. They've created a great proof of concept in the marketplace, but also they kind of create this perception that, oh, electrified means that you're also an OEM. You're also a manufacturer. Did anyone try to push you in that direction? Because this seems like the dividing line really on what Hylion is to become and what it is now.
Yeah. So a lot of time has been spent thinking about should we build trucks? And what we realized is, you know, ultimately just listen to your customers, right? And when you go sit down with a fleet, they're not looking for a new truck. And I'll give you an ex- uh, you know, a example that a fleet owner or a head of maintenance actually gave me. He said, look, if you guys go build your own truck, right, that means that you're going to have to build out service networks. That means you're going to have places that I can pull this truck in to go get it repaired. And he actually gave us an example. He was like, my number one service issue is my trucks hit deer in the middle of nowhere, right? And that's why you see these trucks with these massive bumpers on them. You know, they're driving through the middle of the night. And he said, you know, my trucks hit deer, and when that happens, it'll rip off the front bumper of the truck. And then, you know, what I do, you know, as the fleet manager, he says, what I do is I have to get that truck towed down to Volvo, and Volvo is going to put a brand new bumper on it. Well, if Hyliion went and built a truck, and I was out in, you know, the middle of nowhere, and, you know, a front bumper gets ripped off that thing, how long is that going to be sitting on the side of the road until, or sitting in, you know, a yard somewhere until you can source a new bumper, you can get it painted, you can find someone locally that can, you know, put it on the truck and install it and do all that. I mean, that's going to take weeks or maybe even longer, right? I mean, that's a huge endeavor to go through versus the OEMs that are already there already have all that in place. And, you know, the fleets are very vocal about it. They don't need a new truck in order to move to electric.
Yeah, it differentiates you because a lot of the pitches they're hearing from other EV companies in the space are that they have to do a buy-in on a full fleet where you're doing the retrofit. But maybe this is a good time to bring that up. So say I'm a fleet customer of yours, or I have an existing fleet. How do I approach Hyliion, or how do you approach those fleets about becoming integrated in what they already do?
Yeah, so, and I think both products have a little bit different of a mix to them. So the hybrid one can be either retrofitted onto an existing truck, or it can be a brand new truck install. On the Hypertruck, we are doing just brand new truck installs, right? So a little bit different with both of those. But, you know, the sales process goes is, you know, usually we get a tremendous amount of outreach. And then we also got people that we know in the industry who just are connecting us with others, right? I mean, it's like this word of mouth thing. And when someone gets passionate about the solution you have, they're going to go tell 10 other people. And then those 10 people are going to go tell 100 people, right? And it just kind of snowballs. And so our, like, engagements that we've had with fleets are usually, you know, referrals that we've gotten, or they're reaching out to us, or we've met them at a trade show. That's really been our engagements. And, you know, I think the thing that I guess why we're so excited about the solution that we have is because when you actually have those meetings where you sit down with these fleets, and they're, you know, fleets that operate thousands of assets, right? And you walk them through the solution you have, and what they want to know, ultimately sitting across the other side of the table, is how am I going to integrate this into my fleet, and what's it going to do for me? And so if you can offer them, it's going to reduce your operating costs and it's going to reduce emissions, that's a win-win. So they're sold, right? But then they got to think about, how do I actually implement this into my operation? And what we found is, you know, if you've looked at going to full BEV, then you've kind of been faced with that range anxiety side of things. If you looked at fuel cell, you've been faced with, you know, hydrogen costs $16 per kilogram, and there's no class 8 semi-truck refueling stations out there, right? You've faced all those problems. When we sit down and we walk them through our path that we're on of, hey, it's an electric truck, but we're going to use natural gas to recharge the batteries, and then we can eventually evolve into using hydrogen to recharge the batteries, they know, oh yeah, there's a natural gas station 5 miles down the road, and I can buy, you know, natural gas at a fraction of the price that I can buy diesel. And they have all those boxes checked, and it becomes so practical that they see it, how it can actually be adopted into their operations. Versus, I think a lot of fleets are struggling right now when they look at BEV and fuel cell, they're having a tough time figuring out how it's really going to work for them.
Yeah, and that came up. I'm not going to name the companies, but there's a couple EVs who were trying to push a hydrogen solution. But to me, at least where the tech is now, a lot of the hydrogen seemed dead in the water, because to fill an entire truck, it took something like 45 to 46 minutes. No fleet's going to want that. They'll kick you right out the door quicker than you can imagine if you tell them that. Your focus is on the hybrids. You're looking at renewable natural gas, right? And you're looking at the batteries. So how does that work with the truck? Let's talk about the fuel. Why RNG over something like hydrogen? And how would a fleet go about keeping their wheels moving?
Yeah. So first I want to start with, like, our Hypertruck powertrain. We recently announced that we have a three-stage approach to it. So the first stage, which is what we're going to be delivering, you know, later this year, the demo vehicles I spoke about, the first vehicle will use natural gas. It will convert that natural gas into electricity, and that's what's going to charge the batteries on the truck, right? So you're not plugging it into the grid. You know, you got natural gas tanks on the vehicle. Then phase two and then phase three. Phase two is moving to having a generator on the truck that can run on multiple fuel sources. So it could run on natural gas or it could run on hydrogen. And then the third stage is going to hydrogen fuel cell, which is a vehicle that purely is going to run on hydrogen. So the only difference as you look at that three-stage kind of trajectory there is you're swapping out the generator in the truck. The battery packs, the electric drive, the axles, the software that goes around it, that doesn't really get changed. It's just the generator that we're using to charge the batteries changes. So from that standpoint, you know, what we're doing in starting with natural gas is we're saying, hey, there's already this great ecosystem of natural gas refueling stations out there, like 700 of them in North America, or over 700. Natural gas prices are pretty low right now compared to diesel, right? And so you can drive a really fast payback for a fleet. And then the other thing that is often not looked at or is not known in the industry is this mega trend going on of renewable natural gas, which is this process of capturing a pollution or methane that's coming off of like landfills or dairy farms and actually pumping that into the natural gas pipelines and being able to use that as a fuel in a vehicle as opposed to just letting it gas off into the atmosphere and be pollution. And so when you do that and you actually use it to produce that electricity on the truck, you can actually create a net carbon negative or below zero emissions profile, which when you first think about it, it's tough to comprehend it. It's like you're actually going to be cleaner for the environment to drive your truck than not drive your truck, right? It's like it's a weird thought process. But the best way to think about it, or best way I've found to think about it, is basically you're saying, hey, I'm going to take pollution and use that as a fuel in my vehicle as opposed to just letting it gas off. And, you know, a lot of people then are kind of asking, well, okay, well, how much RNG is there really out there? How much renewable could there possibly be? Well, some stats just came out last year where we just broke over 50% of the natural gas sold at stations across the U.S. was actually sourced from renewable sources as opposed to conventional natural gas. So we're already at a point today where over 50% is coming from renewable places. So now it's like a very viable clean fuel to go use. And one that, you know, as we looked at, we said, all right, well, I don't want to be a company that's sitting here and waiting for hydrogen infrastructure to be built out and, you know, hydrogen prices to come down. I want to be able to go get a solution out there that has a really positive impact. And then we can evolve on that over time. And in some ways, you know, you can argue, hey, if you're already at net carbon negative emissions profile, that's better than hydrogen can get to, right? I mean, hydrogen can't get below zero.
Well, and you're seeing a lot of that pressure come from shippers now, too, as they try to move to net zero carbon. You're starting to see in earnings reports. And actually, there was just a recent Gartner survey, and it was talking about the number one pain point that shippers are facing right now. And it is that quest to reduce emissions. And one way that we can really uncover and find that is within the supply chain. In fact, whereas ourselves, we just raised another round of money to build out our own carbon intelligence tool because the demand is there. One of the problems, though, is waiting for the tech to mature. But another one is if you've been following the news, if you read Freight Waves, OEMs, chip shortage, right? Tesla just recently announced their next evolution of the battery and their Tesla Semi and their Plaid being pushed off until next year because of shortages. Is this something that Hyliion is seeing? Or are you insulated against it? What are you seeing on your end?
Yeah. So, and, you know, we went into this a little on our last earnings call where, you know, we have seen the supply chain markets, they're disrupted right now, right? I mean, there's shortages, chips is huge, you know, the way this always goes is it's like, if you're launching products, let's say you have, you know, just throwing random numbers out here, like a bill of material, that's 1,000 parts. It's going to be like three parts that are ultimately going to prevent you from actually getting that product out there, right? But the problem is you can't ship it until you have all 1,000 of them. So, you know, we've definitely seen lead times push out from suppliers. We've seen shortages of components out there. Thankfully, we're in a position right now where our volumes are still pretty low. So we've been able to continue to maintain that and get vehicles out there. You know, while we are seeing that supply chain issue, by the time we're really getting into full swing here and really at ramped up volumes, you know, I think the markets will have kind of figured themselves out or corrected here so that there's not those shortages. But I mean, I think it's unprecedented times, right? You're seeing OEMs having to shut down factories because of not having components to build the trucks or build cars. And I don't know that we've ever seen that before, or it's been a while.
Yeah, and if this happened a couple of years from now, it might hit someone like you much worse if you are in full on constant production. I mean, you know, again, you look at a company like Tesla, who is and what is actually happening to them in an environment like this. It seems hard to operate in. But you also talk about the market. You guys did something last year that started to become really trendy. Now, SPACs aren't anything new, but they became trendy again last year, especially in the EV space. Walk me through that process, though, from the beginning. Like, when did you first start talking to, I believe it's called Tortoiseshell Acquisitions. When did you start talking to the shell company and deciding, you know what, now's the time to go public? We've matured enough as a company that we're ready for it.
Yeah, so I think it was late 19, early 20 that we decided we were going to go out and raise our next round of capital. And, when we embarked on that, we looked at it and we said, well, you know, we could do another round of private financing, you know, private equity, venture capital backed, or, you know, potentially we could go look at the public markets here. And, it was a few months after that we really saw the public market side as the path for us to go, and specifically the SPAC path. I mean, there's some nuances there when you look at SPACs versus the conventional IPO process. And, you know, we saw, the best way I can probably express it is, like, we saw a lot of efficiencies that came from going down the SPAC path, where you team up with someone, you know, like with us, it was Tortoise that we teamed up with, right? And then ultimately you're going to be merging Hylion and Tortoise, the public company, together to create, you know, one public entity, which is now Hylion. And so we saw that as a more efficient process, as opposed to, you know, an IPO path. You're going to go market your idea. You're going to, you know, try to figure out how to value the company, versus, you know, with a SPAC, you kind of, that partner that you team up with, you mutually agree on the valuation between those two entities, as opposed to, you know, kind of going out to IPOs in some ways can kind of become like bidding, you know, matches. And then IPOs sometimes go well, and sometimes they don't, if it's the wrong time that you're hitting the market. And that's where we saw, you know, SPACs had a lot of efficiencies. And so it was, months of diligence that then went through, Tortoise, both themselves and outside consultants that they had hired, really diving into the company to learn about it. And then ultimately it was, I think it was around the, might have my dates a little off here, but around the June timeframe that we publicly announced the deal, and then October that we actually closed it, and we became, you know, Hylion, the publicly traded company under HYLN.
What was that day like that you went down there, you rang the bell, you're in New York, I saw the picture of you next to the bull. Take me back, put me in your shoes. What did you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, I'll use the word I used earlier, surreal, right? I mean, as any entrepreneur, that's like the pinnacle. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I want to take a company public. And, that was the day that you kind of got to experience all that. And it was a little weird though, because, you know, we were still in the middle of, you know, heavy COVID times, and New York was pretty shut down, and, you had to wear masks inside the NYSE. There were very few people actually on the trading floor. But, you know, no doubt it was, you know, you pull up and you see your semi trucks parked out in front of the New York Stock Exchange. That's something you remember forever. And one of the cool things that we got to do with it as well is one of our close, customers, is Wegmans. And Wegmans has been a huge supporter of Hylion right from the very beginning. I shouldn't say day one, but very beginning. We actually asked Wegmans, you know, would they want to take one of their trucks that they've already had in operations with a Hylion system on it? Would they want to drive one of those down from Rochester to New York City and actually have that on display in front of the exchange? So we had a Wegmans truck, we had a Hylion branded truck. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, and then you went to Taco Bell and got a burrito.
So,
for yourself.
You know, you created this whole Taco Bell thing, and I kid you not, like every other interview I'm on, this comes up, whether it's in like the pre-discussions or whatnot, or that is caught a life of its own for sure.
Well, you know, one day you'll replace the Chihuahua as the Yokiro Hylion. I think that commercial would go.
Or we could get a Chihuahua in a semi truck going through drive through. You know, and that could be the next commercial you see out of Taco Bell. All electric, though, well, of course.
speaking of chihuahuas, you're on Twitter, and I remember the first time I interviewed you, you said your marketing team was like, Thomas, you got to get more involved with Twitter. You got to tweet more. You've been doing a great job, might I say. You've got a following, and when you go public, you start getting a lot of following. And, you know, 2021 has kind of been the year of the retail investor, right? You hear about the retail investor, you hear about meme stocks, you see the GameStops of the world and all of those kind of things. Has that changed thing having the retail investor wanting you to answer to them? And do you ever have like meetings like what happens if we become a meme stock and somehow we start getting a crazy valuation?
I think one of the things that we had to realize, or it's a shift in mindset, is like, you know, in the past, I think public companies, their focus was, I need to go get institutional long-only investors, and that's my market. That's who I'm going to try to attract to buy this stock. Now it's a very different dynamic of, yeah, you still do need those institutional investors, but the kind of the Robinhood investors, day traders play a massive part in this as well. And, you know, what we've had to really strategize on is how do we connect with both, right? I think that it's normal for this industry to try to go out and connect with the institutional investors. I think we're all learning and it's new. How do we really connect or resonate with the day traders or the younger investors that are coming in and, you know, and investing in stocks? And, you know, it's probably not fair to characterize them as day traders, because I think a lot of these people are coming in, and while they might not, you know, be coming in and putting millions in like an institutional are, you could have, you know, millions of people coming in and putting in, you know, the, you know, money that they've earned, and, you know, and that's going to drive a significant value in the stock. And, you know, that's where we've taken a, you know, started taking a more proactive approach on the marketing side of, a few weeks ago, we did a Q&A video on Twitter where, you know, got some questions from people and, you know, just answered them so they can kind of see what's going on at Hylion. And, you know, those are some of the new tactics that I think you're seeing a lot of these companies take, because they have to connect with this new group of investors.
Yeah, and I've noticed that you've always, I mean, you came to us, you approached us about doing that Q&A at the event. I thought it was an amazing idea, and I thought it was super brave of your company to do it. You'd just gone public. There's this rabid retail investor market out there. But even today, I put out a tweet, and I said, hey, Thomas is coming on the show. Anybody have any questions? You went out and you retweeted it. We'll get through a few of them. Now, as we mentioned, you're a public company, so you might not be able to answer all of these, but just do your best. So the first one here is from Silent Alert, and he goes, any update on European or Asian markets to advertise Hylion proprietary technology? So are you looking overseas at all?
Yeah, so I think that's a great point, because we probably don't talk about the international markets as much as we should. Like, you know, our philosophy is we have to roll this technology out in North America first, just because it's our backyard and it's the market we know. But as we look at the international markets, I would even argue in some ways there's a more attractive market overseas than potentially even the market we have here. And the market we have here is a really good market as well. But the overseas market, you have diesel prices that are even higher. You have fleets and corporations who have even a stronger focus on reducing emissions, right? And so you've got more of a tailwind in those markets and potentially more of an opportunity to reduce costs of operation because of those high diesel prices. So international is definitely going to be a focus for Hylion, and, you know, one that we want to go after. It's just, we got to launch stuff here in North America first.
Hey, I know the feelings. FreightWave is a completely different type of company, but again, startup, we were thinking about overseas, looking in those markets. And you know what? At the same time, we still want to dominate and take over North America. And we haven't, you know, we're getting there. We've almost done it, but, you know, we're not Bloomberg yet. So you got to focus on what you can focus on. Hey, I feel your answer right there.
Do you have the bilingual down? Are you, where are you going next?
I speak masshole and I speak English.
All right. So, you know, you're going to have to be very selective on which companies or which countries you go to next after this.
You know that. Even some territories. I can't like go talk to the Yankees fans. They'll get mad at me. AE Invest, he says, since the hybrid is a proven technology, what is Hylion seeing in terms of customer engagement and potential commercial contracts?
Yeah, so where we are with hybrid right now is over the past few quarters, we've been doing low volume rollouts of it. And really, it's been working towards an updated version of that product coming out in the second half of this year. And then it's from there, one of the things we announced on our last earnings call is when we release that updated product, the second half of this year is when we're going to start recognizing revenue on those systems we're shipping out. So, you know, I think that's a pretty big milestone here because, you know, it's kind of us getting to a point where, you know, the units we've shipped in the past, we've let fleets experience them, you know, kind of get their feedback from them. And we've had our learnings from them. You know, there's no shying away from that. We've had, you know, we've had things break. We've had quality issues with it. We've had, you know, parts that, you know, whether it's we design or a supplier design, we find, you know, things that need to be improved or made better in future versions. And that's really, you know, the improvement that we're coming out with second half of this year. That's what's going to be encompassed in that product, you know, kind of those learnings all being brought forward. And, you know, and then from a fleet engagement standpoint, you know, I think, you know, I'll reference back to a couple of press releases that went out, like, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned Detmar. They just adopted their first batch of hybrid systems. We also had Northwest Natural put out a press release, which really cool concept here. Northwest Natural, supplier of natural gas, right? They saw our hybrid system as really an enabler for natural gas trucks. So they went in and got one of our systems, but then they brought it around to the fleets that they work with and let them experience it and actually run it in their operations. So we had companies like Tillamook, right? You know, who are running this kind of like loaner vehicle in some ways and getting to experience it and see the product. And I wish I had them in front of me, but they had some awesome quotes to share of their experience. And, you know, I think we're starting to see some really positive traction coming out of the actual fleets running these products out there.
Let's see here. A. Curtis, he has another question about the hybrid. He says, with the new hybrid system, will there be improved performance?
Yeah, so there are improvements, right? There's things, you know, we're making changes to the actual, like, packaging of it, so it's going to be easier to install. We're making changes to some of the drive mechanisms in it. So there are some pretty substantial improvements that we're, you know, excited to get rolled out there. We think there's going to be a really strong reliability, you know, overall, kind of like, I would look at it as like the commercial side of things of like, you know, hey, you got to be able to install this thing easily. It's got to be able to have a high uptime. Those sort of things were really a lot of the focuses that went into the product.
This is a good one because I kind of want to talk about this expansion anyway. It's from Mark and he says, how many hybrid conversions will you be able to handle max per day with expansion? So first, you know what, let's segue into that. Before we end this whole interview, tell me a little bit about this expansion. I saw the video online. Looks awesome, 40,000 feet. Looks like you can do it, Tom, but you go ahead and you tell us about it. You know more than I do.
Yeah, so this is really just us growing, right? And, you know, I thought you were going to first ask, you know, is there going to be a Taco Bell in the cafeteria? Which, hey, maybe, you know,
cook,
no comment
don't
on
you,
that one.
Is it true? You cook, true or false? You cook breakfast at Hylion headquarters.
So anytime, or I shouldn't say anytime, there's been a good amount of occasions where when we hit some really nice milestones, we'll do like pancake breakfasts in the kitchen. And, you know, when people come in, like, it's pretty awesome because we do pancakes and bacon, and the whole office smells of bacon. And we don't, our office is set up where we don't have like offices where it's a startup. It's like a very collaborative work environment space. So for literally the whole day, you leave work smelling like bacon, which is, you know, it's unique. No, but, you know, the expansion of the office, we're pretty excited about because it's really just part of more of that growth, right? We're hiring more people. You know, the facility now we're going to be able to house 500 people in it. We're adding more install bays to it. We're adding a bunch more testing and validation, more battery capabilities here. So a lot of cool improvements being brought forward that's really just needed for the growth trajectory that we're on.
It, you know, it looks beautiful. The renders look beautiful. So is that what's next? Before I let you go, is that what's next? Just focusing on this expansion, you know, evangelizing what Hylion can do and just fulfilling your role as CEO?
So, I mean, we are faced with so many opportunities ahead of us here, which is really, like, from my end as CEO, this is like, awesome to see, right? But at the end of the day, like, there, we know the market is looking at this as, all right, well, what is Hylion accomplishing? So, you know, the big milestones coming up for us is that hybrid improvement. You know, that's going to be coming out later this year. Same thing, fleet demo experiences and showcases with the hyper trucks. Like, I can't wait for that. I mean, that's our IR guy, and maybe you saw this tweet out there too. He got a ride for the Hypertruck in the Hypertruck for the first time a handful of weeks ago. And he came out of the thing with as like a kid in a candy store, you know, kind of a deal where he's like grinning ear to ear. He's like, oh my goodness, this is like amazing, you know, getting to drive behind it. Cause it's just such a different driving experience than a diesel truck. And so I can't wait till later this year, we're going to be able to actually let fleets experience that. And then, you know, there's a lot more cool stuff coming from our end and stuff that we're really excited about the journey ahead here, but customer deliveries of hybrid and getting that Hypertruck out there. That's the next big things coming up here.
Well, I also know you've extended the invitation out to Austin. So maybe sometime later in the year, we'll be doing a What the Truck right with your team, and we can interview yourself, some of your team members, get some footage inside the truck, and also come out like a kid in the candy store. I've never been to Austin either, so I need to get down. Thomas, know what you need to do too. You or someone for your team, November 8th to 10th, we have F3. It's the Festival of Freight right here in Chattanooga. Bring one of them trucks down here, right down to Freight Alley. We'll show it off to all the people. Again, November 8th.
We would love to do that. No, truly would love to do that. That sounds good.
Check it out. F3, you listening too? People listening, you can see all of us there, live.freightwaves.com. Go get tickets. Like I said, November 8th to 10th. You want to find this episode, look up Freightcast. Look up Freightcast. You get every single Freightwaves podcast on one feed. If you just want this show, look up Freightwaves Insiders. You'll find it there. Or if you want to see our beautiful backgrounds and see our faces for some reason, you can download the Freightwaves TV app. You can watch all of this stuff on demand. Thomas, people who want to learn more about you, where should I send them off to?
Yeah, so hylion.com, hylion.com. A lot of information both about the products, the career opportunities. I'm not joking there at all. We are hiring big time. That's a huge push for the organization. So if you like electrification, if you like semi-trucks and a fun place to work and an awesome team, shoot us your resume. We'd love to chat with you.
Do it. Send it over to them. Join that great team in Austin. Find me on Twitter at Timothy Dooner. That's D-O-O-N-E-R. Thank you for letting us inside your world today. And hey, go Sox.
Go Patriots. Have a good one.